Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So, a recently released report by the folks at Greenpeace USA shows, I think, what we already know. You got a handful of multinational corporations who are boogering up the planet. Mostly looking at Coke, Pepsi, and Nestle. Nestle doesn't get as much attention as they should, even though they're one of the largest water companies in the world, making sure that they sell us enough water. And what they've done over the last several decades, expand plastic production to feed our need for bottled water and other things. That's why I've asked Graham Forbes to come talk with us. Graham is Greenpeace's global plastics project leader. He's also the lead on this report titled The Climate Emergency Unpacked, How Consumer Goods Companies Are Fueling Big Oil's Plastic Expansion. Graham, thanks for taking time for us.
Yeah, great to be with you, Rick.
I'm looking at this and I'm going, when I was a kid, you had drinking fountains everywhere. The thought of buying a bottle of water, something completely out of bounds. And I remember when bottled water came out, I'm going, why? You got drinking fountains. Yet it has become the dominant thing in our society. And it's horrible for our planet.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, the reality is that plastic, single-use plastic, bottled water is really killing us. And I think this report, a lot of people are sort of growing awareness around the plastic pollution crisis. We've seen the pictures of the turtles and the sea life being sort of damaged and killed by this plastic. But what folks don't really know is that all of that comes from fossil fuels and it comes from oil and gas. And companies like ExxonMobil and Shell are really looking to expand that production dramatically to the tune of hundreds of billions of dollars over the next few years.
So if we're not going to use plastic, what do we use? I mean, we've gotten our kids into the reusable thing. Everyone's got a water bottle. Everybody you see walking around. When I was a kid, you never worried about, am I hydrated enough? You drank out of a garden hose for sake. But now everyone's got their bottle. And I know I sound like a curmudgeon, but it's one of these things where, do we all have to have our little bottles because we're not, able to make sure we get a drink when we can? It's weird.
Yeah. That's it. It is weird. And I think, companies like Coca-Cola, they sell you on the idea of this convenience because they get to slap their brand all over it and sort of get marketing everywhere in your face. And it's like, at the end of the day, it's not even convenient because your garbage can's filling up left and right. It's polluting communities and it's really contributing to climate change in a really dramatic way. And I think that's one of the things that Coke doesn't want folks to know is that as long as they're using they sell over 100 billion plastic bottles every year, and that's a huge contributor to climate change.
Now, the argument has been, Graham, that, it's fine because we collect all those bottles. We recycle them. We're good. We're good for the environment. We're doing some recycling. The recycling's the answer, is what I'm told.
Yep. And that really, if folks might not know, recycling is sort of plastics recycling specifically is a myth created by the oil and gas sector and companies like Coca-Cola, because what it does fundamentally is it takes the responsibility they have for producing these toxic materials and then puts it on us and puts it on local governments to clean up the mess. And the reality is we've recycled less than 9% of the plastic that's ever been produced. And there's no way we're going to recycle our way out of this crisis. And so, you got a water bottle, you get a reusable water bottle, you got your kids on it. It's not that complicated. And the companies need to stop selling so much plastic.
Right. So settle a discussion between my wife and I, because I've been of the mindset for a very long time that the recycling was a bunch of nonsense just to get us to segregate our garbage. Because like you said, only a small percentage of it actually gets recycled. But she's almost like that. We got to recycle everything and everything gets partitioned out. Is recycling, is it helpful? Is it the answer, or is it just an exercise in futility?
Yeah, it's not the answer. And it can be useful as part of the solution. The problem is we've been having the wrong conversation for the past 50 years because that's what Coke wants to talk about, right? Like if you search Coca-Cola on plastic, you're going to get a billion words about recycling because that means they don't have to change anything. They're just going to let you pick it up and clean it. So plastic bottles actually can be recycled, but there's all those other numbers and it's only ones and twos that actually functionally get recycled at all. And the rest of them, there's basically no market for it because China closed its doors in 2018. It gets burned or landfilled.
Yeah, and that's a terrible thing. So what is the answer here? Because, look, nobody's going to give up their Coke and Pepsi or their Dasani water or Aquafina. What is the answer? You know, look, I would like to go back to where there are drinking fountains around, but advocating for that during a pandemic, probably not the right answer. So what? Where do we go?
Yeah, I mean, like most things that we need to, this is a systemic issue. It's going to require a systemic response. And so we need people to step up and vote for progressive politicians that are addressing climate change. We need to stop the massive build out of petrochemical facilities, make a just transition towards renewable energy sources. And so it's part about being politically active. And the other thing is the companies need to reform and they need to start moving towards reuse. Coke, you know, they have their freestyle machines. You can go into your local restaurant and get a billion different sodas and you don't need a plastic bottle to do it. You know, you can just put it in a cup. And so it's starting to get creative and really drawing the attention away from the sort of the absolute focus on recycling. That's just really good for their bottom line, but never going to solve the problem.
So your solution is, you know, we go into basically for-profit water fountains.
I mean, we need to do something. And I think for Coke to be a business in the future, they're going to have to transition away from plastic because the climate imperative is upon us and we need to take action and they're just not doing it.
Right. Is there any way that, because I know people, they love the convenience. You know, I'm thirsty. I'm just going to walk and I'll grab something off the shelf. Is there any way that you transform plastics into some other way, different containers? When I was a kid, you know, everything was glass bottles. We used to run around and steal yeah. people's glass bottles and then take them back to the store to get the money for them. Is that a way forward? I'm curious thoughts. I mean,
yeah, the best thing to do is reuse the valuable materials we have. So that's the starting point. But glass, paper are all less problematic than plastic. Plastic is toxic from start to finish, extracted as oil and gas, turned into chemicals, and then, you know, it becomes waste and breaks down for the next 100 years. So our children's children get to clean up the mess. And so, yeah, part of it's going to be using other materials, but fundamentally it's just reusing materials that are more sustainable like glass or aluminum.
Because here's the thing, and this is where I know most people, they want a clean environment. And I believe this. I've only met a couple of cranks who say, I don't care one way or another. I'll be dead before the consequences happen. Like we've stopped using plastic straws because of the turtles. You know, there's a whole bunch of things that you go, okay, we've got to do these things. But, you know, I have some friends who are like, you know, every time we turn around, we're being told something else. Every time we're being, you know, there's another part of our life that we're being told is bad. You know, how do we get past that? How do we move in a way that is more sustainable without beating ourselves up all the time?
Absolutely. I mean, this is not about personal responsibility. Like fundamentally, it's about government stepping up to hold corporations accountable and getting corporate influence out of our democracy, which is across the board. That's a labor issue. That's an environmental issue. Right now, we have an entire party dedicated towards advancing private interests over our collective interests. And that's a huge problem. And so, you know, at the end of the day, it comes down to political power.
No, that's an excellent point that you make because, you know, you see what's going on right now. The last 4 years were some of the worst years for regulatory oversight. You had a president who was very, very clear. We're going to destroy as many regulations as possible, and we're going to transfer as much power to corporate special interest as they can. And this is the kind of thing that we end up with because, you know, as you've pointed out, it's a policy thing. And I like the fact that you brought up that, look, we've been beating ourselves up over recycling and beating ourselves up over all this stuff when we weren't given another alternative.
That's it. And we need other alternatives. And, you know, the people that represent us need to stand up and we need a lot less corporate money in politics.
Yeah. Do you see any, you know, look, I would love to see there be some kind of legislation, some kind of push. Do you see any of that happening in Congress right now? Is there any move to doing what you're talking about?
Yeah, there is. I mean, we have the Break Free from Plastic Pollution Act. It's sort of making its way through Congress. We know it's never an easy road there, but that's a piece of legislation that puts a moratorium on petrochemical build out and does a number of other good things that help move in the right direction. And we also have the Build Back Better Act that's looking to transition away from fossil fuels more broadly and advance some of the climate interests that are going to be good for communities and ultimately be good for workers too. And I think that's where we'd like to see a lot more movement.
No, I think it's important. And for me, the idea of you know, as we're moving away from fossil fuels and as we're moving away from a dirty economy, it then comes to the jobs that are created out of this.
Yep.
And I'm hoping that this is an opportunity that maybe we change what our economy looks like for our children so that they're not left with bad choice, the difference between bad choice and worse choice.
That's it. I mean, we need to create jobs and sustainable industries that are good jobs where workers have a voice on the job, a right to organize, collectively bargain, and start to transfer power back to people so we can actually build a middle class. And stop sort of letting corporations really extract natural resources to turn a profit and leave the rest of us holding a bag, which is really a dirty planet and a lot of poverty wage jobs.
Yeah, I want to go back to a second about the bottles, because, you know, you drive along any highway, you're going to see, you know, hundreds of bottles that have been either thrown out the window or fell off the garbage truck or whatever. Right. How bad is our plastics problem in this, not just in this country, but on this planet? How bad is the problem with as many of these single-use plastic containers that we use?
I mean, they just came out with a study where they found a bunch of microplastics in baby feces. So it's like, I mean, it's literally, it's contaminating, it's permanently, we're at risk of permanently polluting the natural environment with broken down plastic pellets. It's in our bodies, it's in our blood. I mean, we're literally surrounded by it. It's transferring disease in parts of the world. I mean, so we are, it's bad. And it's only getting worse because production, if Exxon has its way, it's going to grow production by 20 or 30% and put us in an even worse position. But I think with our report, as we start to understand it as a systemic issue, start to understand the system, we can start to make better choices and have different conversations about real solutions.
And policy choices, because look, you know, I've said for a long time, and I know I sound like just an old guy complaining about, you know, how things have changed, but the idea that we're going to buy water for more than the cost of a gallon of gas is insane. And we're going to drink it out of a container that we're going to use once and throw away, that'll be here, you know, probably 100 years after I'm dead, just seems like really not a great idea.
Spot on. It's common sense. It's a bad idea. And it doesn't pass the smell test. I mean, it's just like, it's ridiculous. Yet you still, like, I see so many commercials about recycling. Go to Coke's website and they can't talk about it enough. And it's a joke.
Yeah. But again, I think back to the, you know, when I was a kid though, you know, and this is going way back. We had the guy who was dressed up like a Native American guy with a tear coming down his eye. Yeah. You know, when I found out that that was funded by corporate interests, yes, and it wasn't an environmental ad at all, I was beyond furious.
Yes. Plastics recycling is one of the best corporate lies that's ever been told, because it makes you want to believe it because it gives you a sense of agency. But what it does under that is really transfers responsibility to you for a problem that you can never address if companies keep acting the way they are.
No, it's just, and it comes back down to the money in our political system. I mean, right now we can't seem to get some sane things done that we need. We need massive investments in infrastructure, and we need even bigger investments in moving our economy to a much cleaner, more climate-friendly economy. And yet we can't seem to get anything passed. So I look at what you're talking about, of, you know, making these companies just do some sane things, and I'm going, well, that's not possible. We can't do the things we want to get done, let alone the things we don't know anything about.
I mean, that's true, Rick. We got work to do, but I think at the end of the day, we got to keep the faith and just keep pushing, because, you know, there is reason to be hopeful, because as the problem gets worse, more and more people are waking up. And the reality is the vast majority of Americans agree with these common sense changes. So there's obviously something clogging the system, and I think corporate money is a big part of it.
Yeah. So what kind of response have you gotten from this report you guys have put out? And I hope folks will take a look at it over at greenpeace.org/USA. It's called the Climate Emergency Unpacked: How Consumer Goods Companies Are Fueling Big Oil's Plastic Expansion. That's at greenpeace.org/USA. Go through this with me a little bit. What kind of response are you getting?
It's been good. I mean, I think for a lot of these companies, it's been a huge wake-up call, because they like to position themselves as friendly, climate-friendly companies. You know, Coke doesn't put itself in the same category as an Exxon, and, you know, likes to believe they're going to exist long into the future. And so I think what we've accomplished with this is sort of reframing the conversation, looking much more at the source, talking about reuse and how they're going to really transition towards new business models. And so we've been pleased with that. you know, we're doing lots of shows and kind of just getting the message out there that plastics is a climate problem as well as a pollution problem in its own right. And so we need to start looking at systemic solutions.
So just so we're clear, we were not talking about, you know, having to drink out of our hands in the future, though.
Is it? Because
I get some of my friends who go, oh, you tree huggers, you're all the same. You want us just standing around looking at each other and not having any economy. And that's not what you're talking about here.
No, not at all. And I mean, these things are compatible. And the dichotomy, this false dichotomy about environmental interest versus, you know, actually having economic, that is put forward by corporate America to keep us from making true progress, distributing wealth and building an environment that works for everyone and an economy that works for everyone. So don't believe that.
Yeah. So while you're the Global Plastics Project leader at Greenpeace, you're also a former labor guy like me who wants people to have good family sustaining wage jobs with health care, with retirement security and with job security. And I don't think you want to put people out of work. I think you want people to live decent lives.
It's fundamental. I mean, when we talk about system redesign, it needs to start with the people who are working in these sectors and making sure that they can have jobs that can actually take care of their family, right? Yeah, all the things you just said, you know, we've watched corporate America just infiltrate the government in a way that has, you know, really been destructive for working class families. And, you know, it's egregious, and we're getting to a point where I feel like there's going to be energy and we're going to start to see some change because it's just gone too far.
So as a labor guy, any pushback from the labor folks on this? Because I know there are some people who do push back.
Yeah, no, and we haven't had any. You know, we work with the Teamsters, we work with UFCW, and we work with other unions. I mean, because at the end of the day, again, public interest, environmental interest, workers' rights, these are things that we share and the values are there. And I think, you know, we're stronger together. And, you know, I've had a lot of progress working on both sides and both of these movements to build power.
Now, ultimately, the reality is if we're going to leave anything for our children worth having, we've got to probably start acting now and make sure that not only do they have jobs to have in the future, but also an environment that they'll want to live in anyway. But Graham, I appreciate the time, the work that you guys do. Good stuff. Hope folks will take a look at it. The Climate Emergency Unpacked, how consumer goods companies are fueling big oil's plastic expansion. Greenpeace.org/USA. Graham, thanks so much. Appreciate the time.
Thank you, Rick. You take good care. I love your show.
Thanks so much. Give me your thoughts. What do you think? Is this a good idea, bad idea? Do you recycle? I'd love to hear it. Rick@TheRickSmithShow.com. Quick break. Right back. Stick around.
Saving work in America, one show at a time. The Rick Smith Show. Where common sense, reason, and community come together. The Rick Smith Show.